What is the objective of salvation? What is the purpose that drives it? Why did Jesus take away the sins of the world? Why is God presently, through Jesus, delivering men from the power of darkness and translated them into the kingdom of His dear Son, as declared in Colossians 1:13? Where is salvation leading, and how will it all be completed? The Scriptures speak about our salvation as being ready to be revealed. The Spirit witnesses in 1 Peter 1:3-5, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. There you have a new beginning. God has in mercy begotten us. There an objective is stated, to a living hope. That hope is made more clear, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you. The means of keeping us is declared, who are kept by the power of God unto salvation. The fact that we have not yet experienced the fullness of this salvation is declared. We are being kept by God's power through our faith in order to the salvation that is ready to be revealed. There is a general misconception among professing Christians concerning this great salvation. The beginning of it is viewed as though it was the whole of the matter. The starting line is often presented as though it was really the finishing line. You can imagine the disappointment of sports fans if they went to an event, assumed their seat in the stands, and prepared to witness the contest. Perhaps it starts with a gunshot like a track meet. Maybe there's a tip-off like a basketball game or an initial kick-off like a football game. At any rate, what if after the starting gun or the tip-off or the kick-off, the participants left the field of competition and it was all over? The fans rose up and went home speaking of what a spectacular beginning they had witnessed. It would appear as though everyone had lost their mind. The beginning of the event was not the point at all. It's the outcome that counts. The activity between the beginning and the close of the contest is seen as leading to a conclusion. And the conclusion is what gets posted and what gets reported is what determines the real status of the teams. Much of Christendom is nothing more than boasting in beginnings, as though starting the race to glory was all that counted. People cheer, take tallies, keep records, and plan strategies to get people started. But little's done to ensure that they finish or reach the appointed goal. They have evangelistic campaigns to enlist starters, but no spiritual training camps to ensure that people end up with the appointed inheritance and are ready when the game of life is over. Is that really what life in Jesus is all about? Getting started? Did Jesus invest so much of Himself only for us to have a beginning? Is the aim of it all just to be delivered? Or is there something else? Why was Israel brought out of Egypt? Was it merely to get away from their oppressors, or was it to get into Canaan? What was the reason, listener? What was the reason? It is important to know, because that deliverance is presented as a type of our salvation, particularly in the 4th chapter of the book of Hebrews and the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Now, in this message, I want to deal with why we are saved, the objective, purpose, or aim of salvation. I'll deal with only one facet of that purpose, the ultimate reason for salvation. That is what will happen when the race of life has been successfully completed. It is what will occur when the final moments of life are lived and the end comes to pass. If this is missed, the game of life will have been in vain, and in the ultimate sense, the participant will lose. This objective revolves around the fact of our sonship, of being the sons of God through regeneration. Romans 8:16 and 17 states it this way, "The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together." Immediately, our attention is drawn to the future. In fact, what is occurring in the present is really for the future. At the present, the Holy Spirit is bearing witness with our spirit, confirming that the redeemed are, in fact, the children of God. That means this witness is critical to the completing of the race. No person, however disciplined they may be, can run this race while wondering whether or not they're really in it. The term assigned to the children of God is heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Heirs of what? First, it is described by Peter as an inheritance that's reserved in heaven for you. That means you do not have it yet. What you have is really what the Scriptures call first fruit, or an initial harvest. And that introductory harvest is the Holy Spirit, referred to as the first fruits of the Spirit. Romans 8:23. Our text refers to being heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. The heirs of God will inherit God Himself. God once said to Abraham, I am thy exceeding great reward. Genesis 15:1. Inheriting God. How does that sound? How does a house or a car or fine clothing or $1 million or even $1 billion sound beside that? Inheriting God. That is involved in God saying, I will be their God. 2 Corinthians 6:16. It means all of his resources will be available to the saved. Presently, this is not the case. There are secret things, the scriptures say, that belong to God, while only the things that are revealed belong to us. Deuteronomy 29:29. But in the glory, that is another story. Then we will behold and have access to things about God we have never before seen or known, and they will all be marvelous and satisfying. Presently, we cannot talk about them because they have not yet been revealed, but we can talk about our appointment to obtain them and when we will inherit God. All of this is really beyond our grasp. Only faith can reach into the domain of the unseen, be convinced of its reality, and be willing to forsake all to obtain it. Therefore, the Spirit adds another term that enables us to get a more firm grasp upon the nature of this glorious inheritance, joint heirs with Christ. We would say co-heirs with Christ. That means whatever Jesus inherits, we will also inherit. Here's what is said of Jesus and what belongs to him. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things are created by him and for him. Colossians 1:16. All things then are for Jesus. That is why they were made, and that refers to the invisible realm as well as the visible one. If we are joint heirs with Christ, there is some sense in which all of those things will be ours as well. Now in this present time, everything is said to belong to those who are in Christ Jesus. The text is found in 1 Corinthians 3:21-23. Therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world or life or death, or things present or things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ, and Christ is God's. Notice the scope of these things. First, the great expounders of truth belong to us, Paul, Apollos, and Cephas, or Peter. Second, the world is ours, to be used for the glory of God. This is not referring to the possession of riches, heaping up worldly possessions, but to using the world for the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 7:31 says it this way, And they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passes away. Life belongs to the believer. Whether it is lived in a desert like Moses, in a wilderness like Israel, in a prison like Joseph, or in a dungeon like Paul, life belongs to the children of God, in that it can be used for the glory of God. Even death is yours. You can use it to make the transition to the other world and do so in peace. When it comes to the time of death, it will work for your ultimate advantage and not disadvantage. Then there are things present, all circumstances, opportunities, open doors, challenges. They are yours in Christ. They can be used for God's glory to better suit you to live with the Lord forever. Then there are things to come. They too belong to the children of God. This is part and parcel of our inheritance, things that are not yet available to us but are reserved for us in heaven. In the revelation, through an angel who had been sent by Jesus, John was shown the destiny of the saints. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Revelation 21:7. Who can measure the scope of all things? It goes beyond the capacity of the human mind, even the redeemed human mind. At this time, all we know about this inheritance is what has been revealed. The extent of the all things that are involved begins with what has already been articulated. The promises, the exceeding great and precious promises. Let me give you a few of them, starting with what has been promised to those who overcome. Overcome the world, the devil, and their own fleshly inclinations. Here's the promise given to the church in Ephesus. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Revelation 2:7. Here's the one given to the church in Smyrna. He that overcometh shall not be hurt by the second death. Revelation 2:11. Here's the one given to the church at Pergamos. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Revelation 2:17. Here's the promise given to the church in Thyatira. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall he be broken in shivers, even as I received of my Father, and I will give him the morning star. Revelation 2:26-28. This is the promise given to the church in Sardis. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Revelation 3:5. Here's the promise given to the church in Philadelphia. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Revelation 3:12. And this is the promise given to the church in Laodicea. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am sit down with my Father in his throne. Revelation 3:21. These promises were not limited to the churches to whom they were made. Following every single one of them, these words are written, He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches, not to this church or that church, but to all the churches. These are promises to everyone who overcomes, not just to those in Asia Minor where those churches once existed. All of this is involved in being a joint heir with Christ. It is participated in His inheritance. His name will be on them. They will sit with Him in His throne. They will go where He goes. They will engage in the works He is doing. They will enjoy the favor He enjoys. According to 1 Corinthians 6:2-3, they will even judge the world and angels as well. According to 1 Corinthians 4:5, God will praise them like He praised and exalted the Lord Jesus before them. Though not in the same measure, it will be the same kind of praise, expressing joy in what they've done and welcoming them into His presence. Therefore, the Scriptures read, Judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart. And then shall every man have praise from God. Jesus said, If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. John 12:26. He even said, Men are to seek this honor. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? John 5:44. If you want to touch the hearts of those who are believing and speak comfort to them, do not major on speaking to them about lands and houses or things relating to this world. It is true that God is able to cause such things to abound to you, but you must have the proper perspective of it all. Here's how Jesus put it. And Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake, and the gospel's. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses, and brethren, and sisters, and mothers, and children, and lands, with persecutions, and in the world to come eternal life. Mark 10:29-30. First, you have to leave everything in order to qualify for this kind of blessing. Second, know that should the Lord cause you to abound in this world, it will be accompanied by persecutions. That is what He said. But what of the world to come? What about then? And in the world to come, eternal life. That is, eternal life in its fullness. And there will be no persecution accompanying it. God promises there His people will not hunger or thirst or experience heat in any form. Revelation 7:16. There will be no more seed of foam and rage. Revelation 21:1. There'll be no more tears, no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, and no more pain, for the former things will have passed away. Revelation 21:4. There'll be no more curse. Revelation 22:3. And no more night, or darkness, or obscurity, or mystery. Revelation 22:5. That is what's involved in being an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. Seek that, listener. Seek that. You will not be disappointed.